Welcome to Sports Foul Mouse. I'm Morgan Barclay, and
I'm Jay Devlin, back from hiatus. Good to be back. Yeah. Last week of fantasy football.
Yeah, Jay was mildly concussed, like every other player in the NFL this year. He was unable to do a podcast. He talked to the doctors, and he was incomprehensible. Is that a word?
I don't know if it works with concussed, but you know, it's incomprehensible that I would be concussed because I'm a fucking gamer.
I know you are.
I'm like a guy from the
70s. I know you are, yeah. But what am I?
They didn't have, dude, Morgan, they didn't have fucking concussions. How many concussions do you remember hearing about guys sitting out when we were watching football as kids?
Hold on, let me call Junior Seau real quick.
You can't, because he shot himself in the chest.
Wow.
As did Dave Dorson. As did Javon Belcher. No, Javon Belcher, how selfish.
By the way,
in the chest, buddy.
Listen, do you know how good Dorson was in Tecmo Bowl growing up? Dorson on the original Tecmo Bowl. And when I used to play my brother, he'd always play Chicago, and I'd always play San Fran, and he would call him Dweemer.
Dweemer?
He called him Dweemer because he couldn't pronounce his name. So I didn't watch football enough to know that his name wasn't Dewerson. He's like Dweemer with another pick. Like if he picked off Joe Montana, he would be like Dweemer, and he'd just take it to the house because Dewerson was so fast in Tecmo. Who else was fast on the Bears side of the defense in Tecmo Bowl?
Well, Singletary was unbelievably great. Yeah,
but he would always play Dweemer. Okay,
he was good. But who is the greatest performer in the history of electronic sports is not Bo Jackson.
Not Bo Jackson?
It is a gentleman by the name of Cap Bozo, who had the unstoppable. Remember, you could pick from
Cap Bozo.
He was the tight end on the Bears back in the
original. Oh, he did the little up move.
The up and out, the up cross, the cross.
You know how many times I picked that off?
It's impossible.
I picked it off. You know how I picked it off?
How'd you pick it off?
I pulled back Carter. So in Tecmo Bowl, Carter was the center on the San Francisco 49ers.
So you played the Niners every time?
Every time. So it was always me and the Niners versus my brother and the Chicago Bears. So I figured out a way to pick off that little up pat. He'd go down and up, a little zigzag.
It would go up like 5 yards, 8 yards.
And right, cross. And he would do that. And San Fran had a play like that also. And so the way to beat that was you have the regular guy cover him. So I'd pull Carter off into coverage. And then if you got the glitch, every now and then I could pick it off with a lineman.
You realize that's akin to curing cancer or the Ebola virus.
Did you not know that you could actually...
Or world had hunger, you ever being seen able that, to intercept that
did you,
pass.
Did you not know that that pass could be intercepted? That's how much we played
like
that
I
game.
Like I said, I didn't realize a man could go to the moon until 1969.
Well, so, speaking of...
You're groundbreaking.
No, I'm not saying I'm groundbreaking. I'm just saying...
the usual.
I'm glad you brought up all these guys that have recently shot themselves. Not getting into the whole Kansas City Chiefs thing, but...
Well, I already referenced that guy. Was that wrong? Is it too soon?
It's not. It's very soon, but whether or not it's to be, it's a media subject. I mean, the guy killed his girlfriend and then killed himself in a public area and made his coach
a spectacle of the whole thing.
Yeah, he made a spectacle of it and a spectacle of himself, and like it ruined a lot of people's lives in
lot of people's lives.
I mean, honestly, like we joke about stuff, but we're not going to joke about that. That's not a funny subject.
I will joke about him being a fucking fucktard. My condolences obviously go out to the girl's family and all that stuff. But as far as he goes as an individual, he is completely in bounds for me to make fun of him. Because people that commit suicide, it's a very selfish act.
Everyone knows that.
To do it in a setting in that way, in front of other people, you can't even make it. It's like the worst possible way to do it.
So, yeah, it's like, woe is me, and now, oh my God, I did this, so now I feel bad for myself, so now I'm going to go here in a public setting where I work, technically.
Because I want more people to feel sorry for me, even though I just killed somebody. Yeah. Man, give me a fucking break. Guy's a dick.
Guy like that, like, does he write a note even?
I don't know.
Like a suicide note?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't know.
If I was the Chiefs, I would have done every fucking play out of the shotgun.
Yeah, that's every fucked up, by the way.
Every play.
And you know Brady Quinn can't handle the shotgun.
He can't. He played well today.
He did. They won the game.
I was thinking that today when I was like looking at the bets to make, and like I tried to think back.
Are they
like,
playing on pure emotion?
The history of that, like when people die, do teams?
Brett Favre's dad.
Brett Favre's dad.
Monday night game. Everyone knows that one.
Played great. I mean, there's definitely. I was trying to think of instances where it didn't work and when it does work, and I was struggling to think of that. The Favre thing popped up because Favre was that night literally just threw balls up in the air to Javon Walker.
No. He literally had like five touchdown passes.
And he literally just threw them up in the air, though. It was like,
well, triple coverage. You know what I think it is? It's, what do they say when someone's like shooting and not thinking about it and killing it. Robert Horry, Ray Allen, you're unconscious.
You're in the zone, yeah.
Well, they say you're unconscious, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I think that what happens is when these big tragedies happen, people literally are not thinking about anything. They're just kind of numb, right? It's like a Novocaine shot. And you just go on pure instinct. So, like, you've been playing the sport, so you're Brett Favre, you're whoever, even Brady Quinn, who doesn't really play the sport, but he's there somehow. Yeah. Great at commercials. But, like, I literally think they're just numb to the fact that they're playing this sport, and they just go on pure instinct, and they don't think about anything, and that's when they perform the best. Because they're just happy to be there because it's just an escape. They're escaping from everything else, and they're just playing the sport because they don't really want to be thinking about anything else.
All right, let me go the other way because that's just what we do.
Right. Well, we don't plan it, though. We don't plan it like the media does where, like, they sit during a replay booth and, like, everyone takes one side, and then it turns out one way, and they're like, yeah,
but can you
that also, makes sense.
But can you say this? It's almost like, you know, when
Braylon Edwards' catch, by the way, fucking that was a touchdown.
You know, when political candidates need – let's take Hurricane Sandy, for example. Like, something else happens to take something else that's big out of the news. Like, a lot of the political pundits.
Right.
A lot of the
something trumps something else.
The pundits say that Hurricane Sandy gave Obama, like, 4 or 5 extra points that helped him win the election. It takes the pressure off. For a guy like Brady Quinn or a team like the Chiefs that have been terrible, something like this happens, it takes all expectation off of them.
Right.
So then they show up. It's like, all right, I'm Brady Quinn. I can just... If I throw 6 interceptions today, I can blame it on a guy shooting himself in the head in front of my coach. So then he just goes out and he can fling it around the yard like he's in his backyard on Thanksgiving Day playing the turkey bowl, and he plays great.
Right. For the first time in his entire career.
Yeah.
He probably has his best quarterback rating. And all, you know,
he had the least amount of pressure on him today than he's ever had in his football career since probably
because he
the
just
ninth
feels
grade.
Lucky to be playing in the NFL and to be throwing a football in the NFL and playing the game, and he's not worried about anything else, about making a mistake, you know, and all the Native Americans were behind him this time, right? So, like, the Chiefs, the Arrowhead, everything came to a head, and they all smoked opium after the game in the locker room.
What are they, like, fucking 13th century
Listen,
Chinamen?
I know it's a touchy subject, but honestly, though, Kansas City Chiefs, they have arrowheads on their helmets.
Okay.
I want to examine this at some point.
You didn't realize that the chief, the arrowhead, had something to do with Chiefs and Indians.
But then when I saw a close-up on the helmet, I was like, there's an actual arrowhead. And the Seahawks originally being in the AFC West, I believe.
Yeah, correct.
Right? So, like, Denver, San Diego, Dan Fouts, Oakland. So that whole crew, like, I never really thought about the fact that they called it Arrowhead Stadium.
For the record, they're still in the AFC West. If you're keeping score,
the Seahawks aren't.
Oh, I thought you meant the Chiefs. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. I mean, we got pulled out of there for some reason. I still have no idea why.
Restructuring, man.
I'm not disappointed about it because Peyton Manning's there now, so whatever. And let's just pause for our sponsors.
We didn't do our sponsors.
No, God, I mean, that's fine.
This might be one of my top 5 favorite fucking sponsors we've ever had. So I'm going to give you the conch, Lord of the Flies style. Go get it.
So we just want to thank our sponsors, FarmersOnly.com. It's a real website. You know how to spell it. FarmersOnly.com. City folks just don't get it! ! So FarmersOnly.com is a way to connect with farmers in your local area. And when I say local area, I mean you have to drive about 200 miles to meet up with another farmer.
How many dudes on that website do you think have a pickup truck in their profile picture?
Oh, a Ford F-150?
Or a tractor.
How do they get to it? Do you think they're tractor dates?
I'm sure that's a big selling point. Hey, baby, come ride on my tractor. Hey, baby, let's bale some hay. Hey, let's go milk
my
fucking
goat. Whoa, you think that's a metaphor? Or like you say bale some hay, you're meaning like
even
let's bale some hay?
Even for uneducated hick country folk, they even have their double entendre sexual, you know.
I think the propensity and the concentration of the people that are on FarmersOnly.com, which is a real website, I've said the name at least as much as the announcer said Russell Wilson's name today in the Seahawks game.
Yeah.
FarmersOnly.com. Actually, go there. It's a safe site. You can register. But, like, great way to – they're predominantly in the Texas Panhandle. They really are.
Shocking. So, so you're telling me if I got on that site right now, I'd have the market cornered.
Yeah, and like I don't
in
think
the
they
LA area.
I don't think they use Foursquare down there. They don't check into each other's farms or, like, the local bar that everyone goes to. But, like, do you really meet – this is
the other part. You have the site up right now.
And it's meet got like thousands of down-to-earth country folks today.
Just when you all right, here's my question. When you're talking about the internet and you're only using a number like thousands, aren't you selling yourself a little bit short? Because it is the internet. Apparently, but, you know, it is kind of.
But there's around. There's an authenticity to it where you're acknowledging the fact that we're niche. We're a small group of people.
Okay.
So there's an approach here where you're saying like this is an exclusive club. Like there's only a few of us farmers. Let's meet up and hang out.
The homepage has like a backdrop of all these pictures.
Yes.
A, it's 84% dudes.
Right. With a lot of cowboy hats.
Yeah. Not attractive.
Pitchforks, tractors in the background.
The girls are way more attractive than the dudes.
Listen.
And then there's a dude up here that looks like a surfer. I bet you he gets all the chicks because he looks totally
Oh, it's
different.
Like the guy that's like yeah. goes on J-Date, but he's not really Jewish.
Oh, I never thought about
that. You said that we're on a racist couch tonight.
We're on the racist couch. Is that really racist? Talking about, that's more...
We should get back to football. And we're going to keep this predominantly football. We're watching the Dallas Eagles game. And right now...
Bryce Brown is absolutely murdering.
And Jay and I got in an argument earlier about whether or not Bryce Brown is better than LeSean McCoy. And I was like, that's just stupid. The guy has...
It is stupid. That wasn't my argument, though. I didn't say he's better than LeSean McCoy. He doesn't have the body of work to even warrant that.
He's
my
got
point
two
is,
games. It's a Kaepernick situation. No, it's exactly a Kaepernick. A concussion.
Not,
and like, okay,
it's
so...
That's not my point, all of a sudden, though.
The blocking that looks like these gaping holes like a semi-truck can drive through
because
there?
Because they're blocking for an actual fucking running back. LeSean McCoy catches just as many balls as he runs. That's my point.
That was a nifty little move by
Stephon
that
Lewis.
Guy.
But my point is, Bryce, you're going to win Super Bowls. You win football games with running backs. Yeah, the NFL is about throwing these days. But who wins a Super
Bowl? Which we've proven that's been seen, right?
What do the Giants do every fucking year? They got like two guys just pound the shit out of the ball.
No, but
they rush the quarterback.
No. Giants is a bad example. Ahmad Bradshaw does not win them
Brandon
Super Bowls.
Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw, but...
No, two passes won them two Super Bowls.
What won them Super Bowls was pass rush. They get the quarterbacks better than anybody. All
right, so it has nothing to do with running backs. So I completely disagree.
All right, well,
the Green Bay Packers won a Super Bowl. Pittsburgh Steelers won a Super Bowl. Without a fucking running back.
I'm not going to sit here and say running backs win. I mean, quarterbacks win.
They're obsolete at this point. They seriously are obsolete. They're obsolete in fantasy football. They're obsolete in the fucking...
I disagree with you wholeheartedly.
Okay, so if Denver wins the Super Bowl this year, who's worried about Willis McGahee or Hillman or whoever?
When Denver wins the Super Bowl, you can tell me to suck a dick.
You want to bet money on that right now?
Yeah, Denver will
not
win.
Give me odds on. All right, I'll bet you $20, and then if they win it, you have to give me $100.
Sold.
So 5-1.
Sold.
Done?
Absolutely sold.
All right, so there's the bet. Yeah. Denver wins the Super Bowl this year. You heard it first.
Stop with this. I'll take you to dinner, and if I win, I get
Where,
two.
Where, Applebee's?
I get two Jager Bombs.
You get two Jager Bombs at dinner?
I'll take you to the tasting kitchen. I'll do you up nice. I'll do you up real nice.
That's great. That's
great. You Jager Bomb me up at the break.
That's fine. You'll
Deal?
Be Jager. Yeah, it's done. It's done. We just
and
put
I'll
a bet down.
And I'll wear a Peyton Manning jersey when I go
so,
out. Tennessee style.
Fine. So, other topics that we want to cover. We're going to keep it mostly NFL today. We really are just a slow roll into the actual podcast here. We're not scared, though. Two first names. Jay has a major problem with guys that have two first names.
I despise people with two
Doug
first
Martin
names. Doug Martin. I don't trust anybody with two first names. It's weird to me. Why a parent would name their child? Like, all right, get it. You have like
is
a
Berman
laugh.
Calling Doug Martin my favorite Martian? Like, is he using what he used with Curtis Martin?
But over a 30-year career, he's the 50th dude.
Wow, that was a great catch.
Riley Cooper.
Riley Cooper, did he lay down first and like do the barking dog trick?
What's up with like, all right, Jordy Nelson has short hair, but what's up with white receivers have to have long hair nowadays?
That used to be a cornerback move. A lot of like white cornerbacks used to have long hair, like the mullet in the back.
I feel like a sociology or a psychology professor at Harvard could do a really good study on.
Let me
like,
ask you this:
these dudes
have I have a feeling about this, or I have a take on the fact. Like,
I mean, I have
Sidney Rice, long hair coming out of the back, or Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, but they're black. It's cool to do that. White dudes.
Is it though? Because you can grab hair. You can pull a guy. You can't. It's not even a horse collar. You can pull them down by their hair.
But it's
the disadvantage. Like, cut your hair for the season and then grow it out again.
It's different for white dudes.
It's different for white dudes. Why?
It's just different. For a white dude to have long hair, it's just, you think about like a
What
rock
about
star.
Clay Matthews? Clay Matthews has long hair.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but he's tackling people.
He's not being tackled. But, like, skilled, fast dudes with long, you know.
Well, you know the rule, like, with if you're a white guy playing basketball.
Thor had long hair. He's white.
I know. If you're
white man.
If you're a white guy, don't wear black basketball shoes. It makes you look really slow. Because you're already slow.
Well, so wait, if you wear black shoes and you're white, you look slow.
Well, no, black shoes in general make you look slow.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
If you're white, you're already slower.
Absolutely.
So if you get black basketball shoes, you just look that much slower.
Agreed, 100%.
Unless you're, like, really good at stopping and starting and you're just really good at basketball, don't do that. But, because like, you could kind of, like, if you can move laterally quick, then fine. Not a great move, though. But like, to get back to my point about, like, who else has two first names that you just absolutely hate?
You know, that's the thing. I don't have a list of dudes that, you know.
Well, I have a list.
I don't. I just know that when I come across a person, even in real life, that has two first names, I'm going to keep them at arm's.
All right, so how about Cliff Lee?
Ray Allen. I fucking hate Ray Allen.
He's on the list.
He's up there?
Ed Reed. Is Reed a first name?
No. See, if it's an ambiguous kind of, but if your last name is definitely first name material.
Dwight Howard.
Oh, God. Is there anybody I hate more? I've talked about that in length on this podcast. I despise him. I think you're proving my point. Ray Allen was kicked
Trent
out of the
Cole.
Trent Cole. Didn't he play for the Eagles?
Yeah. But, like, Cole is not really a first name.
Yeah, Cole's a cool name. Cole Trickle. One of my favorite Tom Cruise characters. What's your favorite Tom Cruise movie, real quick?
What's my favorite Tom Cruise movie?
Favorite Tom Cruise movie.
I'm going to have to go with... I'm really trying to be, like, that guy that watches, like, the movies that are important in the world. Born on the 4th of July. But I actually meant Top Gun.
Whoa. Let's rewind. So you're the guy that watches movies that are important to the world?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm saying that Born on the 4th of July, as far as like his acting skills go, that was probably his best acted movie. But like, obviously Top Gun.
Why? It's like Vietnam
and I'm not
going
to go, no.
And you're afraid to criticize that?
No, because he was in a wheelchair.
So he acted in a wheelchair?
Have you not seen the movie?
It's a crutch. It's like having a mask on. Like, everybody's different when they have a mask on. You can be freer. I think the wheelchair...
Oh, so you're actually saying Eyes Wide Shut was his best movie.
No, I just think the wheelchair and the mask make it easier to
act. Have you seen Eyes Wide Shut?
I have.
Right, so he was wearing a mask in that movie.
He was. Freaky. Well, he's playing a straight guy in that movie. That was hard for him. It was very difficult for him to do that.
It was. It was very hard.
The answer to that question is Magnolia is his best acting performance, but Top Gun is the best movie.
Don't say like you're the end-all, be-all answer of questions around Tom Cruise.
I'm just saying. I'm on cruise control very often.
Wow. Play on words. Not even is that a double
on
Tom?
Can I do it again?
It's already been done.
I like to get Swayze crazy every once in a while, too.
Oh, wow.
A little Point Break.
Listen,
maybe a little Roadhouse.
I did want to bring this up.
Maybe a little Tu Wong Fu.
I'm curious what you think about the fact that Red Dawn.
Awful.
Are you not going to see it?
Let me ask you a question. You know me as well as anybody does.
Yes.
We've done this for a while. How do I feel about movies getting remade? What's my general feeling of it?
You hate it.
Yeah. All right.
Karate Kid.
On to the next thing.
Right.
Don't remake fucking movies.
No,
don't
remake amazing movies.
Yeah, I don't even know how amazing Red Dawn was. But
what do you mean you don't know? That was a classic. It was a cult classic.
Red Dawn was great, but you could watch Red Dawn back in '83 and think to yourself, because the Cold War was going on, all right, maybe this is possible. At no point in
coming
the
out of the
fucking
trap doors, though?
World, yes. Because there was technology was so different. In no way is Red Dawn today even fucking remotely gonna happen. Not even close with the way technology and satellites and defense systems and the way this is never gonna happen. And then you got fucking Thor Jr. in there, the guy Hemsworth, is that his name? Oh God, I could rant about that. This might even be worse than Karate Kid. And that's saying something.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And here's something that I've been meaning to get to, because I think it's important for people to understand the truth and reality of fantasy football. And that was probably the worst segue of all time. But I want people to really think about what happens in August and mock drafts and how you prepare for a fantasy draft. And I want to throw out some names of people that were drafted that are absolutely useless, right? And so far, I'm going through a few right now. And not necessarily useless the entire year, but like at this point in time. This is a mock draft that I just pulled up. I did like 474 mock drafts on ESPN and every other site.
Okay.
So, por ejemplo, that means for example in Spanish.
Go to the first three rounds. Let's look at the first three rounds of your mock draft.
The first three rounds actually are pretty legit. So, I'll just run through it. So round one. I'm just going to go from first to the next one. Arian Foster, Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy, who you hate on now. Aaron Rodgers, Calvin Johnson. By the way, completely – so as far as the Madden curse goes, he's probably the first guy to not just like discount it or have it be a maybe. He's ruining that
theory. He is now. I will say that. He didn't score a touchdown the first 10 weeks
of the season. No, but I mean he's putting up numbers. Yeah, but he literally – like that. The Madden curse may go away – because Megatron is just literally saying, I was on the cover, and I'm still Megatron. And, like, his numbers today, what were they, like 200 yards and a touchdown?
Like 15 for, what, or 10 or
whatever. Yeah, I mean, his numbers were ridiculous. And everyone knows they're going to him, but you just can't stop the guy. So going on, so...
I would say this. So I'm looking at Maurice Jones, a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew. I get it. He falls to 8 or 9. You almost, like, kind of have to take him. But there's just guys that you just should never fucking take. The guy was... holding out. Give me one example other than Emmett Smith of a guy that just holds out, shows up, and fucking murders it. You have none.
No.
I just gave it to you. That's the only example. That just never happens. Michael Turner.
Yeah, but honestly, like though, I will counter with the fact that Adrian Peterson, by like most accounts, was like, do not draft this guy till around. And he is just ruining all thoughts around ACL, MCL injuries. Like, I mean, and he's a freak. He just doesn't count, obviously.
You're 100% right.
I mean, like, that was a guy I didn't draft him in any league. Because
I drafted Toby Gearhart in the fifth round in both leagues I'm in.
Yeah, I just counted on him getting hurt again and being basically what Rashard Mendenhall is. Like, Rashard Mendenhall is, like, exactly what I know they're not the same guy at all.
I'm just saying
that, like, I would never compare the two as far as their careers go and whatnot, but, like, I really didn't believe that AP had the ability
physically, he got hurt late
in the season. Like, he had a high ankle sprain, they brought him back. Yeah. He got hurt, like, what, week 15? It's like, how is that guy on the field? And, like, he just had another 200-yard game, 82-yard run. Yeah. I mean, like, the guy is a beast.
That's the point. He's a guy that they're going to have to, I mean, at the end of his career, they're going to have to drag him off the field because – it was never in doubt that he's not a fucking competitor.
He'll play it like LT did. I honestly think.
If he's physically able to do it, he will. But like,
no, but
it's insane to think a guy could tear both ligaments in his knee, come back 6 months later, lead the NFL in rushing.
No, I mean
that's crazy.
And he looks exactly the same. Like he runs
even harder almost.
Yeah, and he actually has breakaway speed still.
Oh god, I bet Green Bay today, and they ended up covering, but. Literally, I mean, he rushed for 200 yards, like you said. Every time he touched the ball, regardless of where on the field he was, I was scared to death he was going to break it. He got through the line like 10 times.
He honestly is. Yeah. I mean, right now, he's going to be one of the best running backs of all time. Unfortunate that he plays for the Vikings right now because they just don't have a quarterback and they don't have a team.
I'd ask you this. I'd say, name me five running backs in the history of the NFL, if totally healthy,
mm-hmm.
You would rather start a franchise with than Adrian Peterson.
If totally healthy?
Yeah.
In the
history of the NFL.
LT, for sure.
No, running backs.
Right.
LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yeah, not Lawrence Taylor.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
See, to me, I'm old school.
I know. I'm old school too.
5 months older than
I had issues. I had issues with that for a long time until LT was so good. And the year he broke Sean Alexander's record, right after Sean Alexander set the record for touchdowns by a running back, LT broke it like the next year.
Okay.
I was like, cool, Seahawks had a record for 1 year. That was fun. No, but
Sean Alexander's career, by the way.
No, yeah, Sean Alexander, whatever. A lot of good blocking schemes.
They ran him into the ground like Seabiscuit, my man.
Hey, man, like the show Luck, they killed three horses and they shut down the show.
All right, name five running backs.
Name five running backs that what?
If you were the general manager of an all-time, you had the entire library of NFL players you would rather start an NFL team with. So you said LT.
Barry Sanders.
You would rather, if you were starting an NFL team, you'd rather have Barry Sanders than Adrian Peterson?
No, I thought you said just a group of guys. Like AP would be in the boat.
Oh, no, I'm saying.
Ahead of him?
No, I'm saying if you were drafting an NFL team, all right? You were starting a team.
Okay.
And they said, look, you have to start your NFL team with a running back.
Okay.
Healthy, in his prime,
mm-hmm.
that has ever played in the NFL. Who would you pick ahead of Adrian Peterson? Healthy.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. So you're just like trying to say, like, is there someone better than Adrian Peterson?
I'm saying, no, I'm sure there is, but name. I would like to hear five.
No, I would go with like a Marcus Allen.
Yeah, I would. I think you're wrong on that one. But that's cool. I respect you. I love your football knowledge. You're very LT. I can kind
of. No, I mean,
great dual threat. He's a great runner. Tomlinson was a great runner as well as a pass catcher.
No, I mean, I honestly, like,
Barry Sanders was great. Don't get me wrong, but AP,
he had no team though. He's kind of in an AP situation. I mean, who can AP. You name one quarterback that played with Barry Sanders?
Aside from, I can like, name all of them, but all right, none
then
of them
do
are
it.
Good.
Then do it.
Scott Mitchell.
Okay,
I loved Scott Mitchell.
That souns like a backup to me.
Let me see if I can name all the.
So that's completely fair. Like, what do we
Eric
say?
Hipple.
What do we say about Steven Jackson? Completely ruined his career to be with the Rams this entire time. Like, Steven Jackson, great running back.
Guys getting
like coming out of Oregon State, like the guy's a beast, and it just sucks. He's been stuck with this fucking terrible team, and I don't mind because I'm a Seahawks fan. But like, honestly, the guy is great. And look at Larry Fitzgerald too. Signed up to stay with the Cardinals. Like, he had the one almost like he should have won.
Why are you ignoring my question?
I'm not ignoring your question. You know what? I'll give you one from last week.
Yes.
Emmitt Smith.
Great answer.
Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith is like
the epitome of what a running back.
There's something about Emmitt Smith.
Second week in a row, he's been love on this show.
It is, but like, there's something about him that's just not fancy. Like, there's just, like, he did, it, because
that's the fucking point, though. That position doesn't need to be fancy. It's about just getting the ball and running it and just grinding it out. That's what great running backs do. Jim Brown. Jim Brown should have been the first word out of your mouth.
No, I'm not going to go that old school and go that typical Syracuse guy. Oh, yeah, he played lacrosse and killed it. I know all that shit. I'm not going to go Jim Brown, who's, like, still trying to teach, like, the up-and-coming running back stuff. I'm just not going to do something that so typical.
I'm just talking about.
Listen,
what
do you want me to say, Gale team? Sayers?
No, because Gale Sayers is like Barry Sanders. Gale Sayers is great. They're both great.
Right.
But
so I can give you
the
I can give you
McCoy, Bryce.
Listen,
Brown,
I'm not trying to go straight to the Hall of Famers, right? The automatic Hall of Famers, like guys that are in the Hall of Fame. That's not. It wasn't my intention. Granted, Marcus Allen. Right. It makes
Walter
sense.
Walter Payton.
Walter Payton, of course. That's
Keith
actually
Byers.
Is,
loved Keith Byers.
By the way,
great pass catcher.
By the way,
number 41.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I actually meant Walter Payton when I said Marcus Allen. Is that fair?
It's fair.
I get them confused for some reason.
They're both gliders. They're both long.
No, I know, but like not necessarily their running styles even. I just get their names confused. Do you ever have that problem with like players of a team?
One was an accomplice to murder, and the other has the humanitarian.
Oh, you're talking about Marvin Harrison?
And the other has the
also
the humanitarian award the NFL named
guy.
After him.
Marvin Harrison, a two first name guy.
And he murdered somebody outside of his car wash in Philadelphia.
Is that really what happened?
Of course it is. The guys were shot, and he owned the handgun that he was shot with, and he had it on his possession, and they just swept it under the rug. That's the reason he never came back to the NFL. He still had a year or two left. The NFL was just like, no, go be gone. Like Jordan and his gambling, go play baseball for 2 years.
Right.
Back then, you could sweep this stuff away because the social networking wasn't as prevalent.
Oh, okay, Brady Quinn. This is going off on the social media.
I hate the social media.
Listen, I had this experience where I walked by a local news truck that was down on...
Are you, Ron Burgundy?
No, I just saw a local news truck down on Ocean Avenue by the water, by the beach here in California. And I just thought it was really funny because I was like, in my head, I was like, what story are they covering? And I looked into their van, they had all these monitors and whatnot, and I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of like a criminal style van. And I just thought, you know, I have this phone.
Like what kind of criminal? Like a pedophile?
I don't know.
They associate all vans with pedophiles.
But they had like a satellite coming out, and they had multiple cameras angled, and I was like, the irony to me was I literally thought, I was like, what if they're going to take issue with the fact I literally thought, I was like, okay, I have a phone that can record video. Like, what if I just went up and, like, recorded a video of their van? Like, am I the media now, right? So they're the media covering stuff, but I'm recording their van, and, like, would they be like, get out of here, you can't do that. I was like,
that's like when the NFL Red Zone channel goes, like, screen in screen.
Right.
And one of the screens has a screen up top. of something going on.
Right. Or they do a flashback, and then you're like, oh, you're giving me a flashback. And one comment, by the way, I had a comment on the Red Zone, and my thing about the Red Zone is it's really not the Red Zone anymore.
It's not. Especially the late games.
No,
it's
just not
the late games.
No, it's not even the Red Zone. It's seriously, like, it's honestly, it's shit you think we'd rather see. That's what I decided the Red Zone is. Like, meaning, like, you got a bunch of people that are programming the games. Like, the morning games I don't always see because I'm usually playing basketball. But this morning there was, like, 10 games on. I'm like, you're just basically, someone's deciding. And it's kind of like instant replay, meaning that I feel like it's so subjective. That, like, someone's deciding for you what you should be watching.
All right, not to be redundant.
Like a turnover situation, or like here's a field goal for fantasy, or here's a blah, blah, blah. Like Zerline kicked a 53-yarder. Or like it's not even Red Zone anymore. And I get that. They have to stick with the name because they stick with the name.
Yeah.
But Andrew Siciliano, by the way, also known as Yoda internally at the company, NFL. So he's great. He, like, his transitions, and he gets, like, some little nuggets in there. I feel like he scripts his stuff out. I feel like that
guy... He apologized because a player cursed over the microphone in one of the games. He goes, I apologize for...
He's so smooth, though. That guy is smooth, though. And it was a little bit more gritty 2 or 3 years ago when you had Red Zone, where, like, he could get away with it a little bit more. And now he's shown us the Samsung 2GS as if, like, we need to buy this or we're not allowed to watch the Red Zone anymore, which isn't even the Red Zone.
I'm going to say this, though, real quick.
He's great, though. He's actually...
He is great.
He's a smooth operator. I'm not going to hate on that guy.
I love the Red Zone, man. For a gambler and a fantasy football player, it's like...
They're doing the work for you. They're changing channels for you. That's basically what they're doing.
And that was the whole premise when somebody sat in a meeting 8 years ago and said, hey, let's... You know, but here's the thing. Everything... All these things run their course. Today, I literally sat there and I just watched the Packer game. And then I just watched the 49er game. And
you should have watched the Seahawks-Bears game.
And then I clicked over and I just watched some of the Seahawk game. And I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoyed watching the bones of the game. Watching those
shows. Did you turn it when the commercials came on, though?
No. I mean, I switched over to the other game. My point is that if I was watching a game...
I was doing that as well.
When you watch the bones of a game, the game between the 20s,
the
not
bones
just,
of the game.
Don't zip it.
Dude, you have a fucking ponytail right now.
I do. It looks
You're talking about guys with long hair that play football and you have a ponytail.
Yeah. They look good.
You're like Bradley Cooper.
They're getting a lot of push.
You know that Bradley Cooper on the set of Hangover had a ponytail for
sure
the majority?
Did.
You know
My
that
point
he,
is.
He does not use deodorant, by the way. I got that from
there's
here.
There's no way. He went to Germantown Academy where my dad graduated
from.
He
does
and
not.
Then he went to Georgetown where my dad graduated from. Those are prestigious institutions of
he
higher
not
learning.
He does not use deodorant. He showers 3 times a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that move. That's a good move. That's a clean move.
A lot of showering, but he does not use
deodorant. I'm going to try that move. Anyway, my point is I really enjoyed just watching teams move the ball around, work clock management, the chess match of it.
We have to get into clock management.
Which brought me to this. Like, we all know this. We all have watched this. And we've talked about it on the show. I'm fairly certain.
I'm actually aiming the mic towards you.
Because
the blue ball is being turned towards your face.
The amount of mismanagement
looks like short circuit
of the clock and timeouts and knowing situations.
It's egregious. Incomprehensible.
They haven't even invented a word for it yet because these are multimillionaires who spend 365 days of the year studying this sport.
They're like the Mayans.
It's their job.
We're all going to die in
1221. It is their fucking job. I bartend 3 days a week.
Right.
All right.
But do you do visuals?
And I am better at clock management than 89 to 95% of
in what regard? As far as when you're going to be done.
No, clock management as far as
When we watch the games, we know.
I can watch a football game, and internally,
Listen,
that
college football game.
Should be called here.
The college football game, Alabama, this weekend,
pre-halftime.
That's
one of a billion mistakes.
There were so many mistakes.
And Nick Saban is the last person that anybody should be criticizing, because Nick Saban is almost untouchable. But, I mean, the point is this. They get a first down. 59 seconds to go on the 45 going in on Georgia. You have 3 timeouts left. Three fucking timeouts. Clock stops and starts again when they set the ball in college football. He doesn't use one of his timeouts. You're really going to use 3 timeouts in 59 fucking seconds? right. burns off 14 seconds.
How many yards did they – it's important. How many yards did they get when they got that first down? Was it like a 20-yard, 30-yard hit?
No, they had to respot the ball. And I think it was like 12, 13 yards. It was, okay. it was a good play. That's the point, though. They set the ball.
Field position is important, though, when you're talking about
– It's not important when you have three timeouts with under a minute to go. You're never going to use them all.
Right.
So then two plays later, they run the ball down to the 5-yard line. There's 5 seconds left. Right. So they have to kick a field goal, and they go to halftime. What's the worst part, Mark? They go to halftime with how many timeouts?
Two.
He didn't even use half of them. He used a third of them.
Right.
It's, you know, he cost himself 15 seconds, which would have been
two shots. How does that happen? There should just be a timeout guy. Like, if you want to hire me to be the timeout guy, I would know.
This is just the top of my head. I mean, how about USC Notre Dame last week? Lane Kiffin. All right.
Oh, my God. Lane Kiffin.
There you go. Egregious.
Yeah, and he might get fired because of that.
He's going to be there next year. They already say he will be, but he's gone because he sucks. Third down, here you go. And you know this. And it's people think it's silly to equate Madden football to
regular
football.
It's not silly. Completely disagree because you're always worried about time and score.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that these so-called football – time and score is what football is all about. In Madden football,
all sports are about time and score.
I agree, all sports.
All sports are, except for tennis.
In Madden football,
because there's if there's not a clock,
I'm gonna roll.
I know. Fine.
Oh, Madden football.
You look good, by the way.
No,
I like your beard.
This pisses me off.
Obviously,
I hate USC. I wanted them to lose. Anyway,
I'm just glad you didn't say I hate you. Because if you didn't add the SC right there, I would have been pissed.
I would.
Sorry, I broke your train of thought.
You did. That was funny. I like that one.
Don't tell me when things are funny. I know when they're funny.
So USC is on the 4-yard line with 3 minutes to go. It's like first and goal. Best goal line defense in college football is Notre Dame. We've seen them stuff Stanford, Pittsburgh, everybody at the goal. So 3 downs, USC gets stuffed. They have, it's like 2.5, 3 minutes to go by the time they're on fourth down. What do you do there? You're down 10. I don't even know they were down 10. They were down 2 scores, so the equivalent to 10. You need 2 scores to either win or tie the game.
You kick a field goal.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, you just
do. You kick a field goal.
Because you have to give yourself
a chance to win
exactly.
the game or tie the game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's the whole thing. It's the same as basketball, right? Like, if you're down 5, right, a 2 or a 3 works, right?
It's the most rudimentary.
No. If you're down 5, like, you just have to say, if the shot clock's not below 24 and it's in the NBA – You get 2 points, you know that you can get a stop and get the ball back and make a three and win.
The philosophy is you just always need to give yourself a chance to win the game.
Right.
Because you need another possession.
Right.
Don't take yourself out of another possession that won't let you take the lead. All right? They fucking go for it and get stuffed and lose the game. Like, the fact that I'm listening to the game and I respect whoever was doing the game. I forget. It might have been Herb Street. I don't know. I love Musburger and those guys.
Right,
but
they know what they're talking about. What was their take? They were like, "They can't believe they're watching this."
No.
Were
they
are they just following the media protocol of like?
They gave it 5 seconds. The fact that they didn't absolutely destroy him for that, it just I wasn't.
By the way, I just love the fact Miles Austin got a touchdown.
Tony Romo, greatest second half.
Yeah, he's so good in the second half. He's awful in the first half. They'd be so much better if he just would act like it was the second half during the first
point
half.
Point is, there's 15-year-old kids out there playing Madden football that should be standing next to these head coaches, stuck in this archaic mindset of football where they're worried about X's and O's and they're not thinking about the numbers. I hate the fucking numbers, but you know what? I realize now that sports with, you know, sabermetrics and Moneyball and all, it's just about numbers now.
Who's the guy from Butler?
Brad
Stevens?
Yeah, Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens, right? Like, just all about calculation.
It's not even Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets.
This is honestly where I think football is going. Because how the analysis of, like, where guys score on the court, whether you're, like, breaking down defenses or where Kobe likes to shoot it or, you know, where this guy's top scorer is. Like, they were showing, and again, I hate to push the Seahawks, but honestly, we beat the Bears' ass today.
It wouldn't be a podcast if you didn't push the Seahawks.
And by the way, Bo Lemire, I calculated all of our side bets. You owe me $26, so go fuck yourself. $26 coming my way, prop bets, and then overall win. But they were showing And it was almost like it was just like this technology-based thing. It reminded me of Dirk Nowitzki when he was like practicing moves, right, pregame, the year they won the NBA championship. And there was no defenders on him, but he like step by step. It was very tactical, right? It was like he was doing dance moves on, you know, whatever, one of those machines where like he like step by step, he knew exactly four moves and then he was shooting the ball. So pregame today, Russell Wilson was rolling out very specifically, like 5 yards, 7 yards deep, and he was doing all these like actual movements that you saw come true in the game. So like they showed that versus the Heat. Like so when Dirk Nowitzki was like shown during pregame, they showed him during the exact move he was practicing.
This isn't fucking rocket science.
I know, but like
it's not rocket science.
You
shit you do in the game. You don't practice shit you're not gonna do.
I know, but to this see but like what was crazy when they showed Dirk though, the crazy part about that was is there literally every Heat player contested his shot.
It doesn't matter. He's 7 feet tall. Pregame,
there was nobody, right? So yeah. He's doing it with nobody. And then when like everybody on the entire team tried to stop him, they couldn't. So when I was watching Russell today, and there was a couple times where they had planned rollout sprint throws, like sprint to the right, sprint to the left, and he made the play, you're like, because he's practicing those exact movements at an exact yardage.
Yeah.
And it's very pinpoint. And it's very Brad Stevens. And I think that's where football is going.
Well, here's the point. I mean, here's the difference between – I mean, obviously.
It's a bigger field. We'll get to the Grey Cup.
We'll get to that. But there's my point. Football and basketball, we can compare them all we want. They couldn't be more different. Football is a precise sport where these guys are practicing.
I'm saying basketball is getting more precise.
Okay.
That's my point.
Can I talk for like a minute?
You've talked a lot of minutes.
I haven't. I
will cut your ponytail off.
I've wanted to talk about this for a while, so give me the conch for a second.
All right, fine.
The point is, football, these guys, I've said it before, they've clocked it. You play 60 minutes of football. There's probably 5 minutes of actual action of sport going on. The rest of it is just filler in the clock.
I'm going to have to cut you off.
All right.
So Demaryius Thomas, before Peyton Manning, he was not precise. Now he is. Now he's down to the fucking half yard.
Football, and that's what makes it. That's what you do for but he's, 6 days.
He had to be taught that.
Which what should,
his
no,
route
this,
tree? His route tree.
Point.
His route tree. He didn't have a fucking route tree with Tebow. He
right
just
now.
He was told to get open like it was flag
I'm
football.
Strangle you right now.
Choke me
Will
out.
We agree. No.
Choke
I'm,
me out.
I'm passionate.
I don't
want about
to breathe
this.
Anymore.
I'm passionate about this.
Okay.
I don't understand it. You have 6 days, and all these guys do is work on precise. For such a precise sport where everything needs to be done down to the yard or the half yard,
right?
How these guys can't work a clock down to the even with give them a 5 second plus or minus of differential, they can't do it.
No,
it shocks me. It fucking shocks
okay,
me.
Okay, so can I give you a combination that feeds into your argument, which I agree with?
Yeah, we're in agreement.
Okay,
two
things happened at the end of the Bears Seahawks game, right before overtime. We kicked off, and not Devin Hester, so a guy that's not greenlit to run it out of the end zone, took a kickoff from 8 yards deep in the end zone. I was like, oh, he's going to down it. Because then you don't lose clock, whatever. He runs it out. He gets tackled at the 12, and he runs 5 seconds off the clock. There's 20 seconds left, right? And now you're on the 12, right? The next play – so in my mind, I was like, thank you, that guy. You're not Devin Hester. You're not – so the guy that gets the 3-0 pitch that's allowed to, like, swing away, right? You're not Devin Hester. Devin Hester, you can run it out.
Yeah.
This guy, he looks slow as molasses. So he runs it out. He gets to the 12, and all I'm thinking is, like, thank you. Yeah. I was like, thank you very much for running out. Gets to the 12. And then, of course, the next play, we rush two guys, and Brandon Marshall gets a 50-yard bullet pass from Jay Cutler and, like, puts them in field goal range, and they tie it, and we go to overtime. And I'm just like, what are the coaches doing, and what are the players doing?
But here's my question, though.
There's two mistakes made on both sides.
Here's the question, though. Is that coaching, or is that the player's fault?
Listen.
Because there is no sport that we know of, not one sport that exists, where the coaches have so much control over what goes on the field. Basketball coaches have very little control because it's such a free-flowing game.
Fair enough.
Football, everything is so diagrammed. It's fucking geometry, man. It's military precision.
But we talked about time and score, and this is one thing I think that, like, as far as like coaches go, as far head coaches go, And this is how I would be. And again, I don't know all the things of, that a head coach does in any sport. But when it gets down to the end of the game, the very end of the game, I would micromanage my, like, defensive coordinator or my offensive coordinator. Like, meaning, like, if I'm the Bears head coach, right? So if...
Yeah.
What's his fucking name?
Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith.
What's if Lovie? He's a defensive specialist.
Lovie. Right, right. But whatever. Special teams, whatever. I mean, like, I would be over in the special teams coach's head and say, like, if they kick it into the end zone... They better fucking down the ball. I would tell him, be like, and he needs to tell the players that you cannot bring it out. It's not up to your discretion to bring it out. That's it.
And same thing. See, that begs the fucking question.
If I'm Pete Carroll, I say, guess what? We're rushing four no matter what to get the ball off, and we're not, and we're chipping. We have two guys on Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall is not getting the fucking ball. Cool. We're treating him as if he is the next thing. Like
a guy like Bill Parcells would never let that happen. And basically, if you're the fucking owner or the general manager of franchise, you hire a coach who understands the scope of football. That understands the scope of football and can go down and talk to a special teams coach. Talk to a
defensive. At the end of the game, especially.
That's what I'm saying. That's the end of the day, the head coach is the one that's in charge of all the bullshit.
Exactly.
And if my head coach can't go down and talk to every single player on the field about every single fucking position, I'm not hiring him to be my head coach.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous if that can't happen.
Yeah. So I get the trust factor throughout most of the game, but there's got to be a point where you say, like, my job is on the line, and I'm going to make sure that you are on the same page with me. Right. So, like, if I have to talk to you in real time and say, like, I have a 2-minute break when this kickoff comes. Do not fucking run it out. Or I have a 2-minute break.
It's not.
They're
going
to throw it to Brandon Marshall. They're going to throw it to Brandon Marshall. Don't fucking let him get the ball. Hold him. Do whatever. If it's a fucking PI, fine.
Morgan,
but he's not catching the ball.
Morgan,
what?
It's not the same page as me. It's my fucking page. That's the point. If you're the head coach,
then you better source me.
If you're the head coach, it's your fucking page, and you own that page.
Right.
You're not on my page. You're on my page. I'm on your fucking page.
Right. You're just you're in the credits. You're in
the
forward. The
buck stops here. All the great coaches we grew up loving. That's how it was.
No, it is. That is how it is. Yeah. That's the reality.
Joe Montana was great, but let's make no bones about it. Joe Montana was on Bill Walsh's fucking page. All right. It was his. He owned that fucking page.
And by the
he
way,
made the page. He chopped the tree.
By the way,
made the page.
By the way,
he wrote on the fucking
Joe
page.
Montana, great handshake.
Yeah.
His fucking handshake, ridiculous. That guy could shake a hand. Like,
my
seriously,
brother bounced at bars in San Francisco back in the 80s. Said Joe Montana was the biggest asshole I'd ever met.
Really?
I hate to say that because I love Joe Montana.
And now he does fucking ads for Skechers.
And my brother loves everybody.
But you know, the other thing that I have to say. So we... This is a complete departure from everything we discussed already. Yeah. You were super animated. We're going to close this out a little
excited.
Bit early.
I was passionate.
You're a little fired up.
I am.
But, like, I want to know just this, okay? And if you have this in you, you're going to get real excited because I feel like we were a little bit intense, okay? So I want you to be able to tell me as many movies as you know in which Gerard Butler was in a rom-com. So name all the Gerard Butler rom-coms.
All the Gerard Butler I can. I don't know the name of any of them, but I know he was in one with.
He's been in a lot.
He was in the one with the chick from Knocked Up. He was in. What is it? Tell me. I got some peanut gallery help. What do you got? Lifeline. What do you got?
I mean, he's in another one right now. It's coming up. But, like, how does the guy from 300 go to, like, 74 rom-coms?
See, he was great in that movie with Jamie Foxx where he was, like, the killer. Where, like, he got arrested on purpose. His family got killed.
But is that Range where, like, he looks like a killer in one movie, but then it's, like, the rom-com guy that's kind of like the hairy bear dude? I don't even know what he is.
Wasn't he in 300 First Dates? Oh, that's not even a movie.
It's not a movie. That's not a movie.
Wait, he wasn't in When Harry Met Sally?
No, he was not.
That wasn't him?
No.
Okay.
All right. So, listen. Aside from our sponsor, who we talked explicitly about, farmersonly.com, city folks just don't get it, right? Meet thousands of down-to-earth country folks today. Not tomorrow, today.
It's our sponsor.
Yeah. Farmersonly.com. So if you're on a farm and you love farmers and you like to bale some hay.
I don't think you have to be on a farm to love farmers, though. That's kind of like exclusive.
It feels like it's a geo-targeted situation, though.
It is, but you know, if you're in the city and you love farmers, I think I feel like
Mike Rowe should be the spokesperson for this site, like the guy from the Ford commercials and does Dirty Jobs and has the Levi's commercials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's fucking everywhere.
But I bet I will say this about him. I bet he's like the person that's really, really nice in life, but they go home and kick their dog.
He goes home and kicks his own dog.
I'm not saying he does. I'm saying he wears jeans and he's broken down clothes and his day job. I bet he, like, every time he's out at night, he's got a 3-piece fucking suit on.
No way.
I bet he's...
Fuck no. No, actually, no, that's
so,
not true.
I bet he's so crispy.
He hangs out in hen houses and gets drunk with whiskey. No, he hangs... I'm not even kidding.
He's in Soho giving hand jobs to stockbrokers.
No.
You're crazy,
to stockbrokers?
He's fucking talking about the 3-piece fucking suits and their pocket watches.
Honestly though, farmersonly.com, guys, go there. Our podcast tonight.
Next week, our podcast is sponsored by hand jobs.
Wow. Is that?
Because I'm bringing hand jobs back.
No, let's go for a conventional brand. Let's bring somebody in that actually like pays money. Because I don't think hand jobs pays money.
I don't think farmers, what's it called again?
Farmers Only.
They might not sponsor us because I don't know what it's called.
The
anymore.
Exclusivity of this
farmers
site is
only.
Obvious.
I think they pigeonholed themselves a little bit. I don't think branching out
is possible. Pigeons. You think pigeons are part of the site?
Probably.
Maybe you have to own a pig to get in. Like the compatibility matrix is like, how many cows do you own?
How many?
Eight.
What percentage
what's the
of people
under?
On this site have committed bestiality?
Oh, wow. You took it a way new direction. Listen, you know what? Let's just end with I'm sorry. It's like Pete Rose, I'm sorry. It's
too soon.
Yeah. What do you mean? It's too soon. He's in Vegas signing baseballs to make money and surviving.
I would love that job.
Yeah. We're the over-under on this podcast.
I would do that job in a second.
Listen, the over-under on this podcast is 51 minutes. We're at 51.44. It feels like an episode of 24. We missed Jack Bauer. But we're done. We got 9 seconds left. 8, 7. You can say whatever you want. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Contact.